Matthew chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Matthew chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Again, let's read both of these verses together. Ready? When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And let's pray. Father, thank you again so much for this place. Thank you for your presence in it. And Father, this is a wonderful time of the season that we take time, and even the world slows down just a little to remember the birth of our Savior. Lord, they don't do it knowing exactly why, but we sure do here in this place. Father, thank you that we get to enjoy that 365 days a year here. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The title of my sermon this evening is explanatory of exactly what I'll teach. It's going to be quite simple, extremely practical, but I do want to share it with you. I call it things that you could do for Christmas that won't cost much money. Now, there's a reason why I want to teach something like this. You'll see as the night progresses. We read from Matthew chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. I want to read the verse to you again. It says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Oh, if you've been in church any time at all, you've heard this passage of Scripture read, and you've read it in your Bible reading over and over again. The Christmas story is told here. Jesus, the Christ child, was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Wise men from the east traveled to see him. They followed a star. They followed that star, and it led them to where the Savior was. The Bible says when they arrived, they fell down and worshipped him. They then gave him gifts. They list three specific gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Three specific gifts. I don't think the Bible does anything by accident. I don't think anything's in there by accident. There's a reason why God listed those three gifts. From that day to this, Christmas has been a time of giving. You have these wise men. They have now found Christ. They fall down and worship him, and they give him gifts. And so, today, we traditionally, at Christmas time, give gifts. Now, there's a couple of reasons why we give gifts at Christmas. First of all, because of the great gift that God gave to us in giving us his Son. The greatest gift is Jesus Christ, given to mankind and for mankind. But then secondly, another reason why we give gifts at Christmas time is because the wise men gave gifts to Jesus Christ in honor of his coming and in honor of his birth. And let's remember, he is the reason for this season. You see, it's funny how the world, we copied the giving of the gifts. It's too bad the world didn't copy what happened right before the giving of the gifts. They fell down and worshiped him. That's what the Bible says. So, oh, sure, the world sure does get in on the gift giving, but if they really would like to celebrate Christmas, they need to fall down and worship the one about whom this holiday is all about. And now, but don't miss the reason. Hey, don't miss the reason for the original gifts. The gifts that were given as expressions of love. They were given because somebody was loved. For God so loved the world that he gave. Gave us what? Gave us his Son. Why did God give us Jesus? Because he loved you. Why did the wise men give gifts in honor of the birth of the Christ child? It was an expression of their love toward Jesus Christ. Folks, I would really love for you to slow down long enough with all the hustle and bustle about Christmas time. I'd like you to slow down long enough to realize you're supposed to be giving gifts to people as expressions of love. For God so loved the world that He gave. Don't allow Christmas gifts to become a seasonal demand. Make them expressions of love. The wise men gave because they were expressing their love to the Christ child. God gave His Son as an expression of love to us. And if we are going to give gifts in honor of this season, they ought to be given for the very same purpose, the original scriptural purpose for the gifts being given, and that was by love and out of love. So let's not let advertisers decide what we give and how much we spend. They don't know anything about our love for one another. Hey, and don't compete with one another in your giving. Listen, boy, I wish I had time to go into this. I won't. But we sometimes cheapen Christmas and the giving of gifts of love. We want to try to figure out how much somebody else spent on us because, well, we better spend that amount if we're going to give them something. And, well, they didn't give us anything last year, so we probably shouldn't give them anything this year. I really don't think that's what this is all about. I think if there's someone that we love and we would like to express that love at Christmas, then we should. But we somehow want to compete in our giving and compare in our giving. I really don't think that's what God intended. Don't give to impress them. Give to express your love. Did you hear me? Don't give to impress them. Give to express your love. Give from your heart. You know, how much you spend is really not supposed to be the issue. It is loving people and using this time of year, expressing love both to God and to people, and giving is an expression of love. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. When you love, you're just going to give. And we're not always talking about monetarily, but if you're a lover, you're going to be a giver. That's all there is to it. Hey, let me advise you. Don't spend what you don't have, but here's what you got to do. You make a budget, or you figure out how much money can I afford to spend for Christmas. And then you follow that budget, and then you dole out however much money you can toward all those people that you're going to express your love. Now, let me explain something here. The wise men gave at three different levels of giving. The Bible says that they gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I studied those three levels of giving. They gave gold. Now, we all understand gold. Mrs. Owens understands gold. She understands it very well. Gold was, back then, it was precious, and today, it is a precious metal. And so, they gave something that's very valuable, very expensive. Okay, that's fine. Now, secondly, they gave this thing called myrrh. Now, what was myrrh? Myrrh was a perfumed oil. It was used for a lot of different things, but it would have been probably the second thing or the second step down on the expense level. They gave gold that was very valuable. Then there was another gift. It wasn't as expensive. It was a perfumed oil. Now, oil would have been valuable, but it was a perfumed oil, almost like a lamp oil, and they gave that. Then the third level of gift, if you will, the cheapest gift was frankincense. What was that? It was like a potpourri. There were different elements in this potpourri, but it was a burnable incense. It was used sometimes in the giving of a sacrifice. Remember what they used to talk about it? A sweet-smelling savor at the time of sacrifice. Frankincense would have been used then. The first part of the word, franken, and that meant the spread of the aroma. Scents comes. That's where we get our word scent. It was an aroma that spread, and it was like a potpourri, which was not an expensive thing at all. So the three wise men, when they gave, and we mimic
giving today based on some of the things that they would have done. They gave gold. It was a very expensive gift. They gave myrrh, which would have been a little less expensive gift. And then they gave frankincense, would have been the cheapest of the gifts. Three levels of gifts. Now, listen, not everybody here can afford to give gold. Well, maybe then, if you're going to give to express love, you could give myrrh. But you say, Brother Owens, I can't even afford myrrh. I can't afford those gifts to give away that's at that middle range. Then, give away frankincense. You say, what's that? It's something inexpensive. But you know something? How much you spend is not the issue. Why are you giving it? Amen. And I hate to be oversimple, but listen, folks. We're supposed to be given to people because we love them and our gifts are just an expression of our love. That's really what it's all about. All from the heart. Not just from the wallet. Slow down and realize, for God so loved the world that He gave. If you can afford gold, okay, nothing wrong with that. And some of you could. You've saved, you've worked hard, you're paying your bills on time, you have some extra money, fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Did you know there's nothing wrong with somebody in our church driving a Cadillac or a Mercedes Benz? There's nothing wrong with that. If they earned it and they pay their bills on time, nothing wrong with that. Now, there are some of you shouldn't be driving a Mercedes Benz. And don't worry, you probably won't be. You better just keep driving your bus, your rust bucket for the time being. But there are different levels of gifts in the Christmas story. And I think for a reason. I think God was saying not everybody can afford gold. Maybe not everybody can afford to give myrrh. But everybody can give a little something. And so I wish that we would, as Christians, stop and realize Christmas was about the greatest gift ever given. It was about Jesus Christ being given to us. And then there are the wise men that gave to Christ, but they gave three different levels of gifts. It all doesn't have to be big, bombastic gifts. My wife was telling me, we seen a commercial the other day, and it was about give your mother an iPod or something like that, and it was about a $500 gift. Now, it's almost as if we're being told if you don't spend great, big money, you're worthless. You don't love. That is not true. That is not true. You can give a $1,000 gift and it not come from the heart and it not being given in the right spirit. You can give a $5 gift given from a heart with the right spirit, and the $5 gift is more precious than the expensive gift, because it's really not all about the gift. It's all about the giver and the heart of the giver and the love of the giver and the intent of the giver. And I think we all know that, but it sure wouldn't hurt us to be reminded of it before we get sucked into the chaos of the world. I'm going to do something. It's not going to take me a long time. We'll probably be out early. But I am going to give you a list of things that you can do for someone for Christmas. And it won't cost you a bunch of money. Now, what I'll do is at the end of the hour, I'm going to give you a copy of this. I've got it printed up. I'm going to hand you suggestions of things that you can do for people that will not cost a lot of money. First of all, you could write them a letter from the heart. Write a letter to a family member or a friend. Tell them in the letter. The letter is a gift. Write it in love. I promise you this. A 2-page letter from you, written from the heart, on purpose, with love and compassion and remembrance in it, that letter will be kept far past the other gifts you would give. I'm going to promise you something, and you may not believe this. There are some of you, your parents don't live around here. A 2-page letter written from your heart where you sit down and you really think through it, and you really say some things that need to be said to your mom or to your dad, some of your parents would prefer that over a $100 gift certificate to go out to some restaurant and eat, because it's done in love. It's done in love. So, number one, write a letter from the heart to a family member or even to a friend. Number two, what's something else you could do that wouldn't cost you much? Number two, pray for someone as a Christmas gift. I know you say, ah, that's cheap. Well, it's more valuable than a pair of socks. Pray. Why? Because you love them. You say, Brother Owens, there's some people I'd like to do something for, but I don't have any money. Well, what's money had to do with it? What would happen if for that person that you can't give anything to? Because you don't have any money. What would happen if you spent 1 hour praying that God would bless them? Are you spiritual enough to call them on the phone and say, hey, listen, I'm embarrassed, but I'm short on money. But I'll tell you what I did. Today, I spent 1 hour on my knees praying for God to bless you, and it's the best I could do for Christmas. Maybe that doesn't appeal to you spiritually, but prayer is a far greater gift than monetary gifts could ever be. Number three, make a long, pleasant, encouraging phone call to the ones that you love. Hey, let your entire family in on it. And I'm not talking about a quick call. I'm not talking about one of the, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. How's things going? Yeah, sure, okay. Oh, gotta go, click. I'm not talking about one of those. How about a phone call? It's planned that it be long. How about a phone call that when you make the call, you say, hey, Mom, are you busy? Are they ever? When you call, usually it's going to be, no. Well, good, Mom. I was wondering if you had 25, 30 minutes. I just wanted to call and talk to you. It's Christmas, and I really don't have much I could give you. But I wonder if maybe you and I could just talk. Oh, the value of a conversation with someone you love. Hey, let the entire family in on it. Tell them. Say, we're all going to talk. And it's going to be a long conversation. Some of your loved ones would hang up the phone. They would be thrilled after having had a conversation just like that. I'll tell you something else that would impress them. You call them in the morning and then call them later on in the day and tell them you just didn't get enough. Make one long call and then a few hours later call back and say, Dad, would you have a little more time? I'm not trying to waste your time, but I enjoyed talking to you so much earlier. I wondered if maybe we could talk a few more minutes. Make a difference. Make a difference. It won't cost you that much, and some of you are on the type of phone plan where it's not going to cost you any more to make that call for an hour as it would cost you to make that call for 10 minutes. And it might be good for you to use up some of your mobile minutes calling your mom or your dad or an aunt or an uncle or a grandma or grandpa. You spend it for everything else, talking to your friends, doing things you don't have to do, wasting the time. Number four, make a homemade Christmas card. You say, oh, what are you talking about? Yeah. A homemade Christmas card. Put a picture of you in it. In that card, write out a verse in your own handwriting. Pick out a verse about Christmas. Write a poem. Insert something special and personal in it. You know, to the children, and any of you here that as your kids grow up and they bring home from school a homemade Christmas card to Mom or to Dad. You know what we do? We get a magnet, we stick it to the fridge, and we treasure it. Why? Because it's an expression of love. It's not a matter of, if I don't have any money, I can't do anything. There are lots of things that we could do. We just slow down and do it, because we weren't too big for it. If that wasn't below us, you know, I think some of you that are grown, your parents that live away from here, I think they'd probably be tickled with a homemade Christmas card. Dear Dad, I know I used to make these for you when I was a kid. I was just sitting here tonight and I thought, I wanted to make you another homemade card. Tell him about memories from Christmas. I could see a seasoned dad sitting at the table with a cup of coffee, opening up a card like that and weeping as he read a card from his boy. Number five, send, I'm going to call this, an encouragement-ogram. an encouragement-ogram, like a telegram, but it's all about encouragement. What would happen if to someone that you wanted to be good to, but you didn't feel like you had a lot of money, what would happen if you sat down and you made a list of all their positive attributes and you sent it to them? My dear friend, I don't have much money this Christmas, but I thought I would just tell you how valuable your friendship is to me. Today, I sit down and began to think about you, and I began to list all the positive attributes in your life and the things for which I appreciate you most. You just start listing. Friendship and loyalty and love and strength and character. You know, you ever get a letter where someone's talking about your positives? Sure is encouraging. Sure is valuable. Sure is precious. And so, you can brag on them, and you do it in love, because that's what it's really all about. Every gift we give ought to be an expression of our love for people. And so, I said, number five, I said, write what I call or send what I call an encouragement-ogram. Number six, take someone out for coffee. There are people in this church who say, Brother Owens, I would just love to do something for so-and-so for Christmas, but I really don't think I could give him anything much. I mean, what little bit I would spend wouldn't give him anything that would be of much value to him. All right, fine. Won't you just say to him one Saturday afternoon, hey, for Christmas, could we just go share a cup of coffee? Go sit down and talk with him for a little while. Because you love him. Hey, sometimes just talking with someone, or try this, or just listening to someone could be a very valuable gift. Number seven, take your children sledding. We're going to have to get some snow first. It'll be really rough out there on the hill right now. Hey, parents, I realize, boy, we would love to give our kids a lot of things. We would. Grandparents, I realize you'd like to do a lot of things. But hey, kids can be far easier satisfied than what we think. You've heard me say this before, parents. Children spell love, T-I-M-E. Memories last longer than money. Memories last longer than money. It doesn't always take money to build memories. When it snows, just tell the kids, when it snows, I'm taking you sledding. You say, well, we don't have a sled. Get a trash can lid. You say, we don't have a trash can lid. Steal one. The neighbors are bound to have one. No, don't steal it. Just borrow it. And then tell them later you borrowed it. No, I'm just kidding you. But listen, you go down to the Goodwill. See if you can find a sled somewhere. They sell these big round things, and I'm going to guess you can get them for $7 or $8, and take them sledding. Won't hurt you. My kids could tell you. We used to go sledding every year. There's a great big hill behind the college, and it would get icy slick, and it was fantastic. Of course, they were always exceptionally pleased if somebody got hurt. I don't understand that. You know, if somebody's going down there and they fall off their sled face first and it scratches off half the skin on their face, my boys are going, oh, this is good, Dad. They've always been that way. That's why none of them have decent looking faces. I mean, they're all scraped off from sledding and stuff. But hey, take your kids, build a snowman with them. Be a great thing to do around Christmas time. But it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. Next. Number eight, go through all your old pictures and make a picture book of fond memories for someone. I'm saying many people have lots of pictures. I mean, from family reunions and all sorts of things. Do this. Go through it and grab you some paper and build a little memory book of some sort and put some pictures in it. I'll tell you, some of you that you say, I'd like to get my grandma and grandpa something. Ask mom and dad if they've got some pictures laying around that you could use and get a whole bunch of pictures of you. You know, at the school, you get pictures taken and they sell you a package of 575 pictures, and some of them are about the size of a nickel, and you get all of those for $9.95, and you buy them and you're wondering who in the world you're going to give them to. You don't have, not even here in West Virginia, you have 595 people in your family, and so, but get a bunch of those pictures out and let the children make a little storybook for grandma and grandpa for Christmas and color a Christmas tree on there. Get some pictures of when they got their Bible from their speedy reader here at church and where the name name was mentioned in a bulletin at the school play, and put a little something together and send it to Grandma and Grandpa. Probably mean more to them than sending them a fruitcake. Fruitcake from Hell's Bakery. Fruitcake. Number 9, go help someone do a project around their house. Go help somebody clean their house as a Christmas gift. Or clean a garage. Come help clean my garage. I'll take it. Help them clean their yard. Fix something broken around the house. Some appliances. Clean their car. I think sometimes we feel like it's got to be something big. It's got to be competitive. It's got to compare. When really, it's got to come from the heart. It's got to come because you love. And we stay in the attitude that this season is all about. Number 10, make someone their favorite homemade dish or a dessert. Hey, deliver it to them. If you have a family member, you say, but the ones I just don't have a lot of money. And I don't think it really costs much to make a pie, a little platter of cookies. Find out what their favorite is and make it. Say something that might mean as much to them, if not more. Take it by. Sit down with them, and if they have time, eat the cookies you just made for them. That's what I would do. I mean, especially if you like peanut butter pie. I'd come by, I'd fix it, I'd come by and help you eat it. Hey, I've seen people, I don't know anything about cooking. I know a lot about eating, but I don't know anything much about cooking. But I've watched people make like an apple pie, and then they put a crust over the top of that pie. And did you know that you could carve the words I love you in the top of the crust of that pie when it cooks? Because that's really what it's all about. That pie is an expression of love. For God so loved the world that He gave. And those wise men gave because they were expressing their love for the Christ child. So, you could take a homemade treat, a cake or pie or something by to someone. Number 11, give up a sin in your life for a family member. For some of you, this would make your family happier than anything you could give them. Some of you have some spiritual family members that love the Lord very much. They would love it if you'd change some things about your life for the cause of Christ and for your good as well as Christ's good. I remember once I had some family members that I love very much, and they had taken, a husband-wife team had taken a ride up to Canada on their motorcycle. And I remember my phone ringing at my home, and my wife and I, it was our birthdays. Mine is August the 10th, and hers is August the 17th. And it was right in between our birthdays. And when they got on the phone, they said, hey, Jeff, listen, we have something for you and Sherry for your birthdays. I said, oh, yeah? I said, yes, we do. You've been after us to give up smoking all these years. We're calling to say, for your birthdays this year, neither one of us are going to put another cigarette, a cigar, or a pipe in our mouths for the rest of our lives. I was thrilled. And they haven't. What a gift. What a gift. Spiritual gifts. Do it for them. Do it for Jesus. It won't hurt anything. I was recently, and so you know, I don't have many more. I'm gonna dismiss in a moment. I think the Lord gave me a really, really fantastic gift this last week. I considered it a birthday gift from Jesus. I was down in Charlotte, North Carolina, preaching, and a young man walked up to me, and he shook my hand, and he said, "Do you remember me?" I said, "Well, yeah, I think I do." He said, "You won me to Jesus Christ." He said, "I'm an assistant pastor now. You won me to Christ. I went off to Bible college, went to Bible college for 4 years. I graduated, and now I'm an assistant pastor down here in Charlotte, North Carolina." My heart was thrilled. I mean, I didn't remember him. I thought, somebody else you won to Christ. I had no idea the guy had followed through. I didn't have any idea the guy got baptized. I had no idea the guy ever went to church. Got saved. Got baptized. God called him to preach. Went off to Bible college. Now an assistant pastor at a church walked up to me out of the blue. Said, "Hey, you remember me?" You talk about spiritual gifts are fantastic gifts. There's nothing wrong with a spiritual gift.
try this. Number 12, make a Christmas cassette tape with a greeting to someone on it. There are a lot of people still using cassette tapes. It's not all CD out there. You could use cassette tape. What would happen if you got your little cassette player and you put a greeting on it, let the kids talk on it, you could all sing on it, you could read Christmas stories on it. Put a little cassette tape together and make it something special for Christmas. Boy, it could have a lot of personality to it. Make sure you say I love you a lot on it. What's something else you do? Number 13, make someone a coupon book as a Christmas gift. Men, you could give your wife a little coupon book. You know, you're going to change as many as up to 3 light bulbs a year at no expense to them. You could have a little coupon that says that we will share together a long talk on the porch swing, a free back rub, a free breakfast in bed. There's all sorts. Use your imagination, married couples. Number 14, make a homemade craft. Some decoration for Christmas, but it was made by you. A blanket. Make someone a blanket. Some of you sew. Hey, there's something you can use all that scrap material for. Get the kids in on it. Make them something. You say, brother Owens, all that stuff takes time. Yeah, because to love takes time. But if you don't have money and you have a little time, there's a way to express love without spending a lot of money. Let me say this, and I'm finished. You could go soul winning for Jesus. When I was a Bible college student, I had a professor. His name was Dr. Carl Laurent. Dr. Laurent and I were very, very, very close friends, very dear friends. And I'm sure Dr. Laurent is in his early to mid-80s. Has Dr. Laurent passed away? Yeah, I think he did this last year. And Dr. Laurent and I were friends. He's twice my age, but oh, did I love him. You talk about a great soul winner. Every year at Christmas time, Dr. Laurent would make a commitment for a number of souls that he would win in the month of December for Jesus Christ. Last I heard, his commitment was averaging about 800 souls every December won to Jesus Christ. He did it as a Christmas gift to Jesus. I know I got a letter from somebody, Mrs. Kane. I got a note from Mrs. Kane. It said, "Preacher, pray for me last year at Christmas." Remember the big Christmas service we had here, and I had everybody give a Christmas gift to Jesus, and you committed to win a certain number of people to Christ, or a monetary gift, or maybe giving up a sin. She said, "I made a certain commitment to Jesus and the number of souls I would win in 2006. She said, "I need to win one more soul to Christ before Christmas, and I will keep my commitment." Do you remember yours? Or are you an Indian giver? Did you give Jesus something on Christmas and then take it back on New Year's? But you could win souls to Christ. I believe this. I believe that in Matthew chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, the Lord told us that these wise men gave 3 levels of gifts. Because I think the Lord was saying there are some that may have a little more money than others, and if they want to express their love, they might be able to afford gold. But yet there are some that cannot. So they may give the gift in that medium area, the myrrh. What was it? That's oiled perfume. But some can't afford that. And then there's that lower level of gift, and it was the frankincense, which was basically a potpourri or an incense. It wouldn't have been real expensive. Because I think God wanted all of us to know it's really not all about the expense of the gift. It's all about the sincerity of the heart, and it is to be an expression of love. We're not to be competitive with gifts at this time of the year. We're supposed to give because we love. That's really what Christmas gifts are all about. You children, stop and realize something. When you get things from mom and dad at Christmas, this is just one time of the year where we're telling you in a special way that we love you. Husbands and wives, when you exchange gifts, let's remember why we're doing it. It's because we love each other. As we give to our friends, it's because we love and because we care. And that's what the Christmas gift exchange was all about back then. We're going to have an altar call. If you need to come and pray, you may. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to recommend that you do. You ought to trust Him. He came as the gift from God for you and to you. If you're not saved, you come and we'll tell you how to be saved. If you're saved and you need the altar for any given reason, you come.